Welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California pariah, Jonathan Charney, James, the fat man, Stevens, and the man whose girlfriend, his favorite comment towards him is, bitch, please, Ryan Preston.
Took you long enough to get him.
Finally. I think after the last times, he was hoping it was going to be something better than Ryan Creepy Preston.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I had nothing for that. It's funny.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I was kind of interested in just bringing this up. So, I actually had a homeless guy try to start shit with me last week. Now, the really funny thing is that his doctor removed the meniscus in one of his legs. So when he walks, one of his legs basically bends backwards and when he puts all his weight on it.
Did he tell you that, or you just know from watching?
Somebody asked him that I knew. He's been hanging around the restaurant that I work at for about a month. And then they finally told the guy, bathrooms are for customers only. Which, I mean, that's basically every policy of every business.
Except Starbucks.
Well, Starbucks is the Satan. Anyways, but, you know, like, after he was told that, I was outside picking up some chairs and tables and stuff and bringing them inside. End of the day shit. And he goes mumbling by, I'll fucking remember that and all this other shit. And then kind of just watched him, and I was watching him to make sure he goes away. And then he turns around and goes, fucking what, fucking what? Starts stepping towards me. Now, I ain't running, and this guy isn't either.
You mean you can't run?
Yeah, literally. So, but my thing, you know, I just kind of gave him a look of like, okay, because my whole initial response is, all right, you really want to step up to me? I'll knock you on your ass. That's fine. I'll consider actually finishing your leg getting bent backwards all the way. But now, I guess it was just the look on my face or something, but he walked away, and I haven't seen him since. I guess it was 2 weeks ago now. But I'm just kind of thinking, like, John's told me that he's seen that happen more than once, where I just kind of, like, somebody's trying to start shit with me, and I just kind of look at him, and my whole policy is, you know, if it's going to happen, let's just get it over with. Not the thing of, I'm going to beat this guy's ass, win type thing. It's just like, okay, screw it. For doing this, let's do this. Now, I think that mindset, and I don't get angry. There's only been like a couple people that have ever wanted to fight out of anger, but it's more of just, okay, let's just do this. And I think that them seeing that in me is what kind of makes them rethink their policy there.
Yeah, I think it's a bad word, but I think it's presence or bravado, because it's the fact that you're projecting what you're feeling. Cops call it presence, you know, and it's actually a lot of the ways I've gotten out of fights, because it's just like, I don't particularly want to fight, but if you want to fight, that's, you know, I may get my ass kicked, but let's just get it over with. I got stuff to do.
Yeah.
And that's, I totally think it is. I remember working at the big box store I used to work at a while ago. And it was one of these super crazy holiday, you know, weekends, and I'm dealing with a bunch of Nimrods. And my couple of coworkers said, man, did you see the look you gave with the customer? It's like, what do you mean? They literally just walked past, they turned around and walked the other direction. It's like, what was I look? It's like, I don't know. It's like, man, you should tell me. Reproduce it, get more done.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. It's like, if I actually knew, you know, like had a picture, you know, or some shit of the look on my face that made this guy really decide that it wasn't his best idea to come after me. Because I wasn't moving. I just kind of looked at him and I'm like, I didn't say anything to you. And he rethought his decision. Now, I don't know. Ryan, you're all quiet over there.
Giggling to himself.
Oh, I was listening to the story.
But yeah, so I mean.
Yeah. I randomly get homeless people. I mean, well, around here, it's a little easier to just kind of walk past people.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, the last time that happened, I think I was at a 7-Eleven, and I was already in my car, and you know, asking for money. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, which I didn't usually pay with a card. And getting in the car, and as I look up, he's like coming at me. I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna drive away. That was in my company car, so I didn't want him to kick my car, so I just, you know, jumped out of the driveway a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah. I just,
well, up here you don't get too many of that, just because it's, you don't get, I guess you, like James's experience from my experience, you don't get a lot of, because it's kind of a rural area. So it's one of those things that you'll get a couple, you'll get usually two types of people. You either get the people who are going to ignore you, or the person who's going to punch you. And it's, I mean, am I wrong? There's really two type of people up here.
Yeah,
and
I think he was expecting me to be like, oh, I'm sorry, guy, instead of being like, did I say anything to you? And that's, I mean, that might have been it, that I wasn't intimidated by it, because he was literally flailing his hands and...
Flailing
his hands and trying to step at me, and I'm just like, I'm not going anywhere, dude. Like,
that's got to be it. It's got to be the fact that you turn and say, come on, I got stuff to do. You know,
yeah, I don't have time to waste on your ass, but if you're going to come over here, I'll put you down on it.
Like, that had to be it.
You know, I mean, that's kind of where it was, and not to say that the guy... could have beaten my ass too, but I'm just like, my balance is better than this guy. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, you know, I could drop you real fast.
That's, I would love to see that fight. You know, imagine a ring announcer like Michael Buffer, the battle of the handicapped in this corner.
I refer to him as Hobble Along these days, but you know, I guess his name is Randy. Anyways, but my boss was literally like, cause I was, like I said, I was bringing the chairs in and brought the chairs, and I'm like, this idiot just tried to step at me. And they're like, what? And the boss comes out. She's like, I wanted to see that. I'm like, wouldn't have been much to see, but okay.
It would have been awfully fast.
Yeah.
I don't really get that. I mean, the only thing about the homeless around here, and I don't know about everything else, everywhere else, but the homeless around here are super destructive.
Yeah.
And
we lost Ryan.
And they're super destructive, and they litter everywhere. And it's just, it's amazing. Like, some of these people are like five steps from a trash can, and it literally,
yeah, they'll
like,
just throw it on the ground.
It's, are you there? Ryan?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, no problem. And it's just, it's amazing how destructive and horrible some of these homeless people are. And I totally feel for the homeless people, but you got to police your own.
Yeah.
It's just... because they're disgusting. And I've heard in areas of Los Angeles that they've found tuberculosis, higher levels
Skid
of
Row, I'm sure.
Higher levels of tuberculosis, the bubonic typhus. Plague. What was that?
Typhus.
Yeah. Then all sorts of horrible, like even medieval diseases, and they're on a rise because the people aren't disposing of their excrement correctly. There's no any sort of like cleanliness, because believe it or not, you want to know how the Middle Ages and how we got rid of some of these diseases is they figured out how to be cleaner.
Yeah.
One of the ways, actually, there was less fatality, if I remember the story correctly, in surgeries, is doctors realized they had to wash their hands, because some doctors never would. There's a story of a doctor who would never wash his hands and always used to lose patients.
I believe it.
And it's just,
well, I mean, before germ theory.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel sorry for homeless people, but I don't know what you do with it. I mean, I always thought, I know we talked about this before, but I always thought if you open up a place like Camarillo, because some of the prison population is people who need mental health or just need more, a stronger environment. They need an environment that'll help them grow, because some people need that.
All right. But they have to want it, is my thinking. You know, like, well, there's some people that are just perfectly content with being homeless, and then there's some that want to be out of it.
Well, no, what I'm saying is some of these people, I don't think they know what they want. I don't think they're capable of having the coherent thought enough. Now, that could be because of drugs, or that could be because they always were, I don't remember the term, is it mentally handicapped? They always had that issue, and then for some reason the society or the system failed them. There's that population. There's other population who just made them stupid by the amount of drugs they've done. And and they need an environment where they can excel, which may be some sort of incarceration.
I don't know about incarceration. Well, I mean, that's
like a mental institution, you know, when there's like a stronger halfway house, you know, that type of environment.
Okay.
Yeah, that's I mean, there's obviously a lot of places that are doing all they can. I mean, you know, doctors that go down there on their own dime, places, you know, shelters obviously that open up, things like that. But it's a lot of people who you can't, you know, who don't necessarily want the help or don't want to accept the help. You know what I mean? And it's a lot of fragmented sort of help that's going on, you know, not of the sort of collective group of people that are all trying to handle the same problem. Yeah, I mean, any big city, I mean, San Francisco has got it way worse than Los Angeles.
Yeah. And Seattle. I mean, they have the poop patrol going on.
Not there too.
I don't know. I don't know how you end up stopping it. I mean, there's a lot of that conversation going on now. I know people talk about Los Angeles or San Diego. I don't remember which city was talking about increasing spending on housing and homeless population. I mean, at the end, I don't really know how you fix it because I think, just kind of off the top of my head, I think maybe it's the way, like with violence, like with all the gun stuff that's happening, maybe society, you know, for the gun stuff, because I've said maybe society just can't have guns. Maybe this is a thing where society is having the issue where people aren't able to pick themselves up anymore. Now, you could say maybe that's because, you know, the housing is expensive. There's no really good jobs anymore that are minimum wage because minimum wage is so high that nobody hires. Maybe it's just a snowball effect of bunch of bullshit, but you know, there's got to be something that they can do.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think
you think it's just lazy people being lazy.
Well, I think that does have a part of it. I'm not saying all homeless people are like that, but there are a great number that do seem kind of like they're just content with it. So some of it's like you said, mental health, but I also think quite a bit of it is drugs as well. And there's no real easy solution for it, you know?
So it would be like a multiple. It would be just urban campers. It would be the drug addicts. It would be the people who have mental health issues and the people who want to get out, but the system, or for some reason, they're just having that issue getting over the hump. Because I have to admit, that first hump, like if you're homeless and you get a job, say at Walmart, Walmart doesn't, at least in California, I don't know about the rest of the United States, Walmart won't pay you enough for the hump to get your own place. Now, it might be able to get you a place with a roommate, but the question is, can you trust the roommate? Is it sketchy? You know, you may have that issue getting over the initial getting out of the homeless.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that's really hard, that initial over the hump. I've heard once you make it over the hump, I heard it's a lot easier.
I believe it, but yeah. And I don't know, there are a lot of programs and churches that are willing to help homeless as well to get over that hump, like you said. But I don't know, you think it's like a marketing issue of going out and being like, here, this is something we provide for you if you want to do it. But I would also say that even the government has things like that.
So this is a guess, and this is super judgmental, so excuse me if that happens to be a trigger point, that it's probably just people who just would rather suck off the system. And if that's your particular proclivity, you know, I can't blame you, because I'll be honest, you know, working 40 plus hours a week, only getting to see my wife and kids for so many hours a day,
it sucks.
I understand the idea of it. I mean, I really do. I understand the idea of, hey, why do anything when I can live in a little worse of an area or, you know, a little worse of an environment, but I get to do whatever I want. I get to see my family whenever I want. I couldn't do that just because of the way I was raised.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I can think of. It's just people who prefer to be more free. And maybe this would be, excuse me, the equivalent of like the Wild West. Now, if you listen to any sort of 50s, 60s, 40s, like Wild West stories, there's always the drifter. In more modern stories, it was the person riding the rails. So maybe that would be the modern day equivalent of the person who would just be on the horse and drift in, you know, drift out, pick up a couple of days worth of work and then keep moving on. I mean, maybe that's the equivalent of it.
Yeah.
Because society's always had that at least Western society has always had that element of travelers, but maybe today's society, it's not as easy, or it's not expensive, or there's no way to hop a rail, if that's still a thing.
I'm sure some people still do it. I mean, we still have a lot of trains moving around.
Definitely still possible to do that. I don't think we're talking about your average rambling man. I mean,
I mean,
I think it's more drugs. I mean, at least in California, and what I think it is, in California, they decriminalized a lot. The marijuana I never had an issue with, but I think part of it, this is, you know what? Yeah, I think this is part of it. The other thing is in California, in order to be really arrested, anything a felony is $990, which means, and that's non-stackable, which means somebody can steal $900 a day and it's still a misdemeanor. It's basically a hand stamp and get lost. And maybe that's some of it. Maybe these people are criminal offenders and you know, have it, but you may. I mean, this is just a thought as a fact. Maybe these people are just criminal offenders who haven't been thrown in jail. And you could make the argument, do they belong in jail or not? But maybe that's another part of it.
String them up by their thumbs.
Mussolini style. What do you think? I mean, could that be another issue?
I think that. I don't know if I'd say it's another issue. I would just say it's stacking upon the same issue.
Because, you know, there's a grocery store around here that I talked to a couple of years ago, and they no longer have those automated, those self-checkouts at past a certain time of night, because I think they were having like 30 grand worth of shrink a month.
Yep.
And that's insane.
Yeah.
For even a big box store, 30 grand plus is a lot of shrink.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, we want to have a society that tells the truth, but we don't have that, sadly.
Now, I've always grown up within, you know, people talk about the good old days. And in the good old days, usually when people talk about, are anywhere between the 30s and 60s. And my always question with that is, what do they mean by the good old days? Because in some sense, it was the fact that, you know, it was the pick yourself by up your own bootstraps. You know, don't take from society. Some of that I agree with, not all of it, or not to the extent they might have done in the 50s. But anytime I talk to somebody about that, then I mention, you know, the 50s. So everybody says, you know, they have this romanticized version of the 50s when there was the Korean War. 40s was World War II.
Yeah.
You know, the 30s was the Great Depression. So you have all these good old days, and that, you know, maybe that's also part of the issue.
I think it was the good old days because you could just walk into a supermarket with a quarter and come out with a loaf of bread, a chunk of cheese, peanut butter, meats, and you know, they didn't have security cameras back then. And you still have your quarter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But I don't think that's the good old days. I just think it's that it's remembering fondly their childhood.
Yeah, everybody has a romanticized view of things.
That's pretty much what it tends to be is kind of being nostalgic. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Remember, Barry?
Certain things like right after World War II, I mean, everybody for years literally retooled the fucking manufacturing in the whole country to try to help win a war. So everyone was a little high up on their cloud at the. Everybody for this common goal. Everyone was feeling together, not to mention your average communities were not crazy big. You know, there was like 2 billion less people in the world.
Right.
So, you know, your average community was a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
Ryan has actually...
You weren't aware of all out of the world, so it was easier to be happy, easier to be the beaver, or the cleavers.
So I think Ryan actually might have hit the nail on the head or the head on the nail a bit is the fact that maybe there's more social isolation, you know, as far as you got the internet, which is the greatest way to feel like you're talking with people but not have community. Maybe that's something. I mean, part of it, I think, is, and I know we've talked about this before, is everybody went to church. Now, they wouldn't necessarily believe it. Maybe, but they went to church. So you had social interaction, at least on somewhat of more of a basis that wasn't work. Because, you know, work friendships are generally not friendships. You all just happen to be at the same place at the same time. So you have some sort of common community, which is you all work together.
Almost more like a sibling because you're just stuck with each other.
Exactly. So maybe that's another thing, the fact that in modern era, especially with how extreme and politicized everything is, maybe that's part of it. Because nowadays, you're not a person, you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. I mean, I don't remember it being this bad when I was a kid, when you heard people talk to each other. Like, you listen to podcasters or people I know in person, like, oh, that person's just a Democrat, fuck them. It's like, whoa, hold on, time out. Have you talked to the dude? Well, fuck him. He's a racist. The dude's Jewish. You know, like, you know.
How do you know that, John?
Right? Or I just, you know, it's so blatantly judgmental. Maybe that's another part of it. You know, just with the homeless, and maybe it's also with the gun conversation. Maybe we just have a society that needs to blow the whistle and say, hold on, time out. Here's the issues. Because I think that maybe that's it. What do you think, James?
I think so. I think that has some effect on how we treat one another. I mean, it really kind of, you know, we keep putting everybody in the box when honestly, not everybody fits in that little box that we want to put them in.
So I guess it goes back to the horrible cliche is labels are for jars.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know who I felt nailed this subject the best? Fucking South Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, they nail so many of these subjects the best. But I don't know if you remember this episode. It was when Cartman froze himself because he could not stand waiting like the 3 weeks
until
the Wii came out.
Yep.
And he accidentally froze himself for like 1,000 years. Shit.
Yeah.
And he wakes up when otters had taken over the world and they had abolished religion and everyone was atheist.
Yep.
And they were at war with the other atheists. And at the end, it turned out that they were at war over what the atheist group should be called.
Yeah.
And it did it within regards to religion and the debate between atheism and religion. And it's like, if we didn't have this to argue about, we would find something else.
Yeah.
Because both sides like to fucking poke the goddamn bear too much.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they did it in another episode, too. And that's where they have the Mormons in there. And it's not. But, you know, it shows that, you know, they're people, too.
Right.
Was it Stan that went over to the Mormons' house and started playing the games with them?
Like, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, anyways. But, you know, it's really nice because, yeah, we really do look is at people that are Muslim, that are Mormon, that are Seventh-day Adventist, and we're just like, as a predominantly Christian society that we live in, which is still kind of predominantly Christian no matter what we look at it, but they all look at these other religions as, oh, you have it all wrong, you're an idiot, and all that stuff. But the South Park episode of that one really showed that, you know, just because they're Mormon or Muslim, there's good and bad of each one.
I think the one hard thing that I think we lost as a culture is the ability to sit down. One of the reasons I'm a giant fan of apologetics is the fact that if you find the right apologist, you know, as far as like the Christian apologist, is you actually get them, you can hear people sit down and have conversation of why, like Ravi Zacharias, who's like my all-time favorite apologist. He'll sit down and say, this is why I think that Christ is the only and true God. And then people come up and ask questions. It's a give and take of a great conversation. He did a conversation with a guy who was Hindu. And he was East Indian, just like Ravi. Yeah. And it was an amazing conversation. And so I think that's another thing we miss as a society is the sit down and talk. Now, I have friends who, well, I jokingly say they're left of Pol Pot. Some actually might be. But I have friends who, when I talk to them about things and I'll make a joke and they flip the hell out. And it's just for making a joke and they assume things about me. And it's like, hold on. There's a joke here. So one of the things that happened was I made a joke that I wish young girls wouldn't wear like shorts that stopped at their navel.
Who wears short shorts?
It's a joke, but it seems to be true. I've seen younger and younger girls wear shorts that don't cover their vaginas almost. Yeah. And it's, And it, as a parent, I keep thinking, why would anybody do that? Besides the fact it looks fucking cold. You know, it's like, so I hate that because personally to me, it seems like you're sexualizing a child. Granted, her comment was correct. It's like, you can't blame what she's wearing on, you know, on somebody else's actions, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is true. I mean, all because some guy reacts poorly to what she's wearing. It's not her fault, but I do think it's a societal level of something.
Okay. So what I wouldn't say this is recent, but what I've come to realize about our society, and most of it I actually would say is the fault of social media, is we don't have the ability to listen to other people anymore.
You mean like...
Because we all have an opinion. And instead of reading somebody's, if it's on social media, or listening to somebody's opinion and trying to understand it, we all bombard it with our own damn opinion as if ours is completely better than theirs. Now, granted, that can happen. I would say it doesn't happen as often as we pretend, but we don't read things and try to comprehend where somebody else is coming from. It goes back to the old adage of opinions are like assholes. Not everybody wants to hear yours.
I think,
and it also comes down to you don't have the time to listen to everybody's opinion.
Exactly.
When you're trying to espouse your own and move along to the next person you can try to convince because it's all being done on social media.
Yep.
If anybody bothered to talk to their friends or their family and have like what might be considered controversial discussions with people that they love, I mean, I'm sure you can find a way to be reasonable with people. Then you can talk about those things. That's what it used to be. You talk to good friends and have differences of opinions, and it never got crazy because you bothered to learn their opinion because you cared enough to spend that hour with them or talk to them and have of that give and take, which you just simply don't have the time to do because you have another 400 comments to look at and rage against.
Okay, two things. one, I think part of it is the internet is a really bad text is a really bad medium for conveying jokes. Like my joke really was just
also for arguments.
Yeah, I mean, because it really was a joke, and it was a joke out of my concern for young girls wearing stuff that's too revealing or too short, and that's my opinion. I just made it as a lighthearted joke, and if somebody wanted to say, "Hey, man, I don't see anything wrong with it," and I could have let it pass. It really wasn't that big of a joke. I was actually considering deleting it, even though a lot of lady friends I have actually agreed with it. I even made a joke about guys. You know, I said, "Hey guys, nobody wants to see you without your shirt on, especially if you look like Chewbacca going on a holiday." You know, so it was kind of an equal opportunity offense there. And the other thing I think is, like, everybody's outraged. You know, and then nobody has the time to sit, like Ryan, you guys, both of you said, is nobody sits down. And I love talking about controversial topics with people I don't know. Because one way is because, believe it or not, I know pretty much most of my friends' opinions on things just from being friends with them so long. So, like, strangers, especially strangers that, if you excuse the way I'm putting it, you know, a different tint than I am. Like you talk to a black dude or a black woman about something because their life experiences are different than mine. So I love having controversial conversations because it's a way for me to glean knowledge that I would have never gleaned before. Like one of the things I thought was pretty eye-opening. I mean, I kind of thought about it, but I never heard it put that way was, there's a wrestler by the name of Cody Rhodes. His wife is African-American. And he told her at one point in time, "Hey, honey, I don't see color." And apparently she popped on him. She just went off on him, say, "That's bullshit, because that's not what I've experienced." You know, so basically she told him, like, you know, "You have to see color because people see me." I'm like, that's a great way to put it. You know, so then that would have been a controversial conversation in today's society to some degree. you know, so I miss that. I miss the interaction of being able to say non-PC things. And maybe it's because I'm from a small town, and my small town, nobody's politically correct. I mean, I know a handful of, well, and the reason why I think that's important is because if nobody's politically correct, you don't necessarily get offended unless the person, it's how the person says it that makes you offended, not what they talk about. Because I've had horrible, horrible conversations with strangers where I'm from and never got offended because I knew where they were coming from and how they were saying it.
Well, and that's the benefit of personal interaction, and it helps even more when you know the person a little bit, is because you do know where they're coming from, so you already have the context of, okay, this person has this opinion, it might be completely contrary to mine, but I know where this person's coming from. They don't have to explain their whole history, like I know this guy grew up here, and his folks were like this, and his upbringing was like this, and his job is like this, and so I get how he can come to that a different conclusion than me. You know, you might already have the requisite knowledge to agree with him if you're in his shoes, you know. So I don't know, people aren't willing to look for that middle ground online because you don't know that person.
So a couple of things is what if we had a new social compact? A social compact is pretty much, it's usually stuff that you don't realize that you follow, but you do because it's the way society goes. Is what if we started a new social compact that if somehow we allowed each other to ask controversial questions on the agreement that we walk away that at least agreeing to disagree?
Well,
and the other thing, and hold that thought, is about the comment about young women wearing revealing clothing. It really is up to the parent. And I know people saying, who have said in the past when I've made jokes like that, is about, you know, oh, rapists and very anti-women men make comments like that. And so what I want to clarify my comment is being, you cannot justify anybody's actions because a woman or anybody is wearing any particular clothing. Everybody's actions belongs to themselves. I just want to make that clear because I don't want people to think, oh, I'm sexist or I'm this or that, which I'm not. You know, so.
Okay, so what I was going to bring up is chat rooms early on in the internet world were basically what you're saying. It was different people coming together with their own opinions, their own thoughts on things. Now, I'm not saying all of the internet was like this. There were certain forum rooms and websites that you could do and exchange that with. Now the thing that we need to understand is it was really easy at that time to just find the trolls and destroy the trolls. Now we have Facebook, Twitter. Am I missing another major one?
Well, see, the weirdest thing about
Instagram, Snapchat.
Well, hold on.
But what I was going to bring it back to is that now the internet is so flooded with so many different people who don't give a shit about having an actual discussion. And there's more trolls than we can handle as an internet society.
So the thing I was talking about I made the probably poor taste of joke about too short of clothing was, this is not a person, not only who I've known for a while, but I love the fact that she has a completely different opinion from me. And she's actually somebody I care about, because if you're a friend of mine on Facebook, you're legitimately somebody I know who I've had contact with, who on some degree I care about you. And that's the part that bothered me the most, is it's like, dude, you know me. I'm not the best communicator. Sometimes things, especially written, don't say as well as I mean it. But think about me, you know, and that was the reason I got so ticked off about it, was I'm not that, I don't really care what you do as a person as long as you held some sort of responsibility, you know? Ryan?
I mean,
No.
I don't know. I mean, I think the specifically for the for like the dressing of young ladies and whatnot. I think there's more reflection on how well society is doing. You see more of that, but also like you said, you can't judge somebody on their clothing. I mean, I've had opinions about shit and then got to know somebody who had a differing opinion and I liked that person or respected that person in another form. And it might not have changed my initial opinion, but I might have amended it. Like in future conversations, like, oh yeah, you know, I'm pretty much on this, but you know, I know this other person like this, and you know, I gotta say that's not blah blah blah, you know, whatever.
My only opinion on clothing is I just don't like seeing, and this is my personal opinion, so please don't hate. I just don't like seeing really young girls, like, you know, maybe 13 or 14 and lower, wearing shorts that are literally they're cut in an angle, and it's basically they look like they're wearing underwear. I mean, granted, I mean, swimsuits cover less.
Yeah, that's apparent.
But that bothers me. You know, swimsuits, I give or take, because that's not something somebody wears constantly. But that type of clothing, to some degree, bothers me. Granted, I'm from a very conservative background, so that could be part of it. But, and the other part, I remember when I was younger, maybe in my mid-20s, a flock of ladies, all shivering, wearing no clothing. And I remember busting out laughing, and James might have been with me. And it's like, looks like, what are you laughing at? They're all shivering. Their legs are blue, their lips are blue, and it's not makeup, and they're not wearing any clothing. It's the middle of fucking winter. It's some level,
yeah, and you know that. Look, I think that's a little bit of age on us. You know what I mean?
100%.
Those sorts of thoughts. Like, I literally remember the day I started like respecting people with a nice lawn. You know. Like, look at that fucking guy's lawn. Holy shit, he must be out there all the time. It's fucking amazing. Like, I like literally had the thought, like, wait, did I just get dropped to some dude's fucking grass? Like,
yep, you did.
That was a weird thought.
No, I remember.
Same thing with like clothing. I don't think there's anything wrong with a little bit of back in my day. You know, we didn't run around looking like a bunch of flute. You know what I mean? Those sorts of thoughts is fine.
Well, here's the issue.
You know?
Back in James and I's day, they did. And at the time, I was like, hey, this is cool because, you know, she bends over. She's not keeping any secrets. So there's a little bit for me as becoming the old guy, which, hey, you know, I'll let the old age flag fly. That doesn't bother me because totally when I was a kid, I was okay with it.
But yeah, we're looking at a society with a shit ton of pedo bears out there. And
yeah, but
yeah,
that,
weird.
But I, that I goes back.
I'd be more embarrassed if I saw somebody wearing like JNCOs.
But that goes back to the conversation.
Hey, JNCOs are badass.
But that
dick.
Goes back to the conversation. But that goes back to the conversation my friend said, and her comment was, "You can't. Society shouldn't necessarily reflect what women can wear," which I don't necessarily disagree with. All because there's a group of pedophiles, should any women be limited
no,
in what
I'm
they
not
can wear?
Saying that at all. And that kind of goes back to what we were discussing earlier about accepting different religions. And the Muslims, they have their women covered up basically head to toe because they don't want to have the men sin out of lust. And you know what? My thinking has always been, well, that dude needs to change his damn, you know, change himself rather than put
yeah,
it on the women.
It's one of those, hey, that sounds like a fucking you problem, guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that's exactly what it says to me is that's a you problem. So it's not
like, hey, man, you might need to check yourself, bro.
Yeah. So, but should we be thinking the same way for young women who are basically wearing thong jeans?
Well, and you
know,
you also don't necessarily know the motivations of the person who's wearing it. That could be the most self-actualized fucking person on the planet.
Yeah.
Who just decided to fucking slut it up that day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's fantastic. Hey, go for it. And, yeah. And I'll tell you one thing. I walk around with my shirt off outside all the time because fuck you.
I would see, I would think as a parent, and I don't have a little girl.
Chewbacca.
I don't have a little girl, but by the way, if I had a daughter, this is what I would say is I think there's an age to entry. And I really do. I think once you pass a certain age, then maybe you can do this. Once you pass a certain age, maybe you can do a little this. And you could call me, hey, that's unfair. That's this, that's that. But you know what I'm going to tell you? That's life. Under my house, under my roof, there's hold on.
Right.
There's barriers to entry. As you grow older, I'll let go because that's my job as a parent. And as a parent, I see little girls wearing this clothing and it bothers me. And maybe it shouldn't because, hey, their parent is cool with it. But on the other hand, I have friends whose parents were okay with them doing hardcore drugs.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. Look, I realize that, but.
All you can do is raise your kids with you know with the values that you have. You know what I mean?
I guess
you know, when you're there's always going to be some things that kids take a while to learn or that they push back on as adolescents or something like that. But you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being the parent who you know either says like, "Hey, listen, this is incredibly inappropriate," and you do represent you know us as parents who are raising you.
I think there's
and also same thing. Nothing wrong with like the hey, I understand my daughter is her own person at this particular age, you know, or so, you know, and is much more mature than the thing. You know, she wants to wear that, she understands what's going on, et cetera.
So the couple of things is I think there's some decorum. There's you got to know the room and the time when to wear stuff that may or may not be revealing. but the other thing. Is one of the things that's always bugged me about modern society, even as a little boy, was the fact you watch all this stuff in television and stuff about women, and it's always about looks. And even when they started, I remember when I was a kid, when they were starting to really push the girl's power thing, try to change the you know, like the
Dildy
old joke.
And the Pussycat?
Yeah. Or you look at like
She-Ra.
The person actually... Put Josie and the Pussycats was the 70s, but you know, like girls can do normal stuff. They can do, you know, the rah rah girl power stuff,
bra burning stuff.
The thing that bothered me is the fact that if I have a daughter, I want her to know that she's more than the sum of her parts. And it's the one thing that's always bothered me in society is the fact that you know the person's like, oh, it's just a walking pussy. What the fuck I care? And I've known guys like this, and it bugs the crap out of me. It always has. And that's maybe that's one of the reasons.
I think we're literally in the middle of the shift of that, though. There's a ton of like, I mean, a lot of the media, and I mean, I'm not even talking about like news or things like that. I mean, just pop culture has shifted so far into that direction. I mean, you movies literally like Captain Marvel was a different kind of girl power that I was used to when I was a kid. You know, when they started kind of pulling all that shit out and saying like. Hey, look, girls are cool. You know what I mean? It wasn't just Josie and the Pussycats or silly ass dumb movies like that, or their fucking attempt to do Charlie's Angels.
Oh God!
Worse than anything.
I
but
do
now
think
it's like oh okay, there's these legitimate amazing stories where they're not being treated like they used to in film and TV,
like Danger Prone Daphne. I do think though.
Yeah, so I think if you know by the time your kids are you know getting into that age of adolescents, they're going to have a lot more examples than we did.
And the other thing is the fact that I think what they also have to do is elevate the conversation about men, because for a long time, for the last 20 years, men have been the comic foil. You have either the mean wife or the smart wife, and the husband's always dumb, lazy. You know, and that's in commercials, that's in common television. And I think that's something else that they're going to have to change is the fact. And I do think this because if you look at the rates of men in college and like men are kind of dropping out of society. And I think that's the other thing is men are having a hard time adjusting because if you look at television, you had My Three Sons. The dad had an important role. The mom, not so much. But that was the era. That was literally the zeitgeist of the time. And I think what you have to do is you have to figure out how do you elevate the conversation for both genders. And I think one of the issues that I see is it's all about yay women. Not so much about men. And then you hear people say, oh, men can be feminists. And my comment about that has always been, I'm aiming for egalitarian because feminism, in my opinion, especially the third or fourth wave feminism, I think doesn't so much help the conversation. So I think what you want to do somehow is make everybody equal or realize, at least in media, in television, is the fact this is the type of role. You cannot get mad if it's elevating the man as the main character, is the strong point of this story, and the woman is not. Because that's the way society runs. And
Married
I think
with children.
Yeah, I think you got to be.
Well, look, I've got really not that much of a problem at all with the like portraying dudes as dumb in TV or movies, because one, it's not going to last that long. It'll be something that everybody kind of gets out of their system, and the egalitarian nature of everything will.
It's been for the last
unfold anyway.
It's been for the last 20 years that, and it's died down a little.
Really, how bad have we been fucking hurt by it? You know what I mean? It really is not hurt my feelings at all.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna go that, if you're gonna go to the route that how bad were they hurt? Then we, you know, I don't think that's a fair argument. I really don't, because, you know,
I don't think it's damaging to society or has any connotations aside from a little bit of a dig, you know?
Well, yes, but I mean, I think the way it sounds like the conversation you're going is there, women have been this for hundreds of years, men can deal with 20 years or blah, blah, blah. See, that's the problem to me is the fact I don't think you can go down that road, because I think you're going to cause more problems down the road. I think what you got to do is realize, okay, we had an issue with this. Let's forget about that. Let's move forward. How do we elevate both? Because if you're going to go back and compare apple to oranges, then you have the old then you have just the circle jerk of a conversation.
This is my point is, what are we talking about? Are we talking about just like TV and movies or society?
Well,
I mean, how things are portrayed in TV and movies, and by no stretch is the majority at all.
Well, movies are
then that's one thing, but it's no reflection of the actual society itself.
I would say it's a little bit of both, because if you look at what movies are coming out today, that's generally the movies are a reflection of the time period. One of the reasons you got
I think it's also a little bit of wishful thinking, though. You know what I mean? Like it's not that way, but it would be nice if people thought it was that way.
You know what I mean? I think it's that way now more than it ever has. I mean, if you look at like the last presidential election, I mean, whether you like Hillary Clinton or not, we almost had a woman president. Well, we've having women in power for in more positions now than ever.
But let's be realistic, man. I mean, it would take a long time and a lot of those things for it to even get back to 50-50.
See, the other thing, and I don't understand the argument 100%, is there's also the conversation point is that what a lot of women want? We could be at parity at just the fact that how many women want this. So the best argument I could say this is one of the reasons why they say historically women don't make more money than men, because women have different priorities. Now, it's not all women, but I know a lot of women that have chosen jobs that pay less for the flexibility of time, versus historically men have always had to make more money. So they work more hours. They don't usually take vacations, you know, so that's the primary motivation. I've also known the roles being reversed. I've known men who've been staying home parents and the guy's wife is never home. But there's also that
I think these days it's all gotten pretty, as far as how the household kind of works thing. It's like, okay, well, who has the better job? Well, sweetie, you have the better job than I fucking do. I'm going to stay home and take care of the kids.
Yeah.
You make more money than me. You know what I mean? Like I don't think there's too much of a discussion behind, well, listen, I'm the man and I think you need to quit your job even though you make more money. No, I don't think that's that big.
I would say that was up to the woman, to be honest, because I know women who would, even if they make more money, would gladly hand over the reins. Now, I think most people are more economically minded than if a guy was making 20 grand a year and some chick was making $100,000 a year. I don't think most would make that decision. But I swear I've known people who have done that. Now, I don't know if it would be the smartest decision. No comment?
I know
more women that who their goal in life was to be stay-at-home moms. I know quite
a
number
of women like that too.
Like that's all they've ever talked about is like, you know, I want to be a stay-at-home parent. And some of them have gotten the opportunity to do so, and they're as happy as clams. However, I've also known women who kind of think, you know, being a stay-at-home parent would be entrapment. So
sure.
So I mean it. I guess, you know, the old joke was, you know, nobody's the same, but I don't know. I think we got to figure out how to, as a society, and I think this about all conversations, politics in general, we have to learn how to forgive. We live in a culture that holds grievances to a higher level of grievance than ever before. And this could be stuff that, like Joe Biden, say if Joe Biden said the N-word in 1942, somebody's going to bring it up on a press conference and it's going to kill his career. And it's like, I think at some point, and I get it, the N-word, it has a lot more history attached to it. And I don't blame people for being upset about it, but we have to learn to forgive. And I think that's the one thing this culture doesn't know how to do. And I'm guilty as anybody is, if you learn how to say, okay, this is bullshit, let's try to move on.
Well, it's all bullshit, John. You know, everything.
Let's take every case for itself. You know, and
yeah. Well, look, I've always believed in it. I mean, more or less, no matter what, there should always be a path of redemption. You know what I mean? In some fashion or another.
Seppuku.
When it comes to political figures doing something, let's say like that, for example, then that's Biden, can be anybody, and you know, could have been in the mid '80s, if you know, whatever. It's like, okay, great. You know what? One, you know, we'll forgive you. It's okay. It happened in the past, but you know, we've got. It's not like he's the only option.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, there should be better people out there applying for the fucking job.
Well, I don't know
that shouldn't be like to me, like, okay, whether it took you a long time to realize that you were wrong about that or not, like, okay, still give me the guy who never thought that. You know, give me the guy who was fucking raised better than that. Like, where is he?
Here's the problem with that, and the problem being is the fact today's normalcy is tomorrow's bad word. You give it 20 years and something that was society okay will not be. So basically that's
schmutz.
That's fuck you. that's leaving a lot of gray area where there is no redemption. When, if you know, say for some reason, saying, I don't know, say the word sassafras is a bad word 20 years from now. And
I think we have to re-record the show now.
That's right. So I mean that's the issue.
Is,
well, I just that's the fact. It's like the old Batman line, you know, see yourself, what was it? See, either become the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And that's 100% what it is in culture. Well, no, but that line fits in my example is the fact that people aren't they're not knowledgeable about the era where that was said. What was the context that he said? Did he believe that when he said? Instead, people are making broad generalizations about people without knowing more of the story. And we live in a soundbite.
I wasn't talking about we. That was the only thing we heard. It was a quick soundbite, and that's the only word. It's just we know it's his voice.
I mean,
if we had like a context, okay, this person.
What I'm saying,
you know, held some racist shit back in the day.
What I'm saying, you know, say take David Duke, who's not a particularly lovely individual, who's not. But you know, he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and say nobody really knew that. You know, this is a what if. You know, say if nobody knew that and everybody loved him, and then it turned out they found him a picture of a hood in a hood burning a cross, but he was a really good guy, and he came out with an explanation, going, you know, that was where I grew up. That was what everybody did. I've changed my views. I will prove it to you by my actions. And then everybody said, okay.
Is he running for political office?
Well, say if he is.
Let's say he is. Then get me the guy who was not ever in the Klan.
So even if he is the best person for...
and find yourself.
Even if he is the best person for the job? Are you
There's
gonna...
no way that would be... I mean, come on.
Well, no, see, I don't... see. This is a lot of hypotheticals, but if he's the best person of the job, even though he held controversial views, would you
look? Can we agree that politics these days is a popularity race?
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah!
Nobody's actually looking at policies and things that people stand for. They'll hear a couple of sound bites and call it a day.
Yep. Yeah, I just
so, giant douche in a turd sandwich.
I think collectively, everybody at the same time should say, "Oh fuck, I didn't know what this about this guy. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should pick the other guy." Because it wasn't based on merit for his job in the first place.
If everybody actually paid attention to policy, there was no way the fuck Trump would have ever gotten elected. Because Trump was a giant fuck you to the system.
But I'm just saying, you get a couple of people. We can say that generally most people, whether you would agree with them or not, are qualified to do the job of the office. you know, whether it appeases one side or another.
I don't really know if anybody's qualified to do the job of president, to be honest.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, qualified or not, but there to do the job and are smart enough to at least have gotten to that position. Went to college and string sentences together. That's what I mean by qualified.
I think what we're doing is, I think we're trying to elect people that don't exist. And what I mean by that is the fact that
this is just an amalgamation of the people that do exist.
Well, yeah,
one guy that was in the Klan, there's one guy that wasn't. One side wanted this guy, the other side wanted this guy. The rest of it's just kind of equal down the middle. Get me the guy that wasn't in the fucking Klan. I don't think I'm taking a hard stance on something controversial here.
No. My question would be, I guess, in theory, is who is really better for the job? I'm not stating this as yes.
Well, that comes down to personal politics, right?
What's that? Well, yeah, no, it does. Well, I mean, yes, but no, you're right. But here's my thought. First, I want to say is I'm not defending the Klan, especially somebody who is Jewish. But what I'm saying is,
so you're saying does a person in that position deserve redemption?
Yes.
And I'm saying, yes, they do, but just not for that particular position any longer, at least in politics. I mean, come on, you're a policymaker.
So basically, their past, and this is a question, so their past defines them so much that they're limited in what you could do. So
if
basically,
he was a rancher, I wouldn't give a shit.
Well, no,
but we're talking about politics, somebody who's going to run government and put policies in place that most people aren't going to look at.
So basically what I'm saying is he's a social felon. So because of his past, because of what he did, he's barred from this because
not socially, just from politics.
Well, that's, you know, socially, far as, you know, office stuff like that. That's what I'm saying. So basically he's a social felon. What he can do is limited because of his chosen actions in the past. There's no redemption in certain parts of society for that. Is that what we're saying?
Because my point is that there's just from a citizen has choices kind of a standpoint. There's somebody who can also do that job who wasn't morally ambiguous back in the day.
Now here's the thing I got to say is I'm not, besides the fact of being of Jewish heritage, I'm not of any sort of class that's ever really dealt with any major sense of racism. So I got to say my social context is a little bit different than everybody's. And by the way, if you're out there, tell me what you think. I'm curious in what y'all think about, the idea of redemption and forgiveness in somebody who was, say, a Klan member or, say, a hardcore racist on either side of the fence or any color or creed. I don't actually disagree with Ryan on that. I think if you're a member of the Klan, you might, depending on what you did, it's like being, you know, you're guilty by association. My past, you know, being a child, I was guilty by association because my friends, James. So my only worry, and this is coming from somebody who's a Christian, is I'm afraid at some point it's going to be so many qualifications for forgiveness that the person's going to be hollow. It's going to be like the movie, it's with Sandra Bullock. I forget it. You're going to live in such a fake world where everybody pretends to be this way, but nobody is that way. And that's the thing that scares me. There's nobody's going to be real. And I don't want that. I want the person who's maybe not had the cleanest background, but they really wanted the redemption. That's my major concern.
And I think we as a society can recognize the, you know, the individual case on those sorts of things. I think the sort of snake eating its tail where everything has kind of become taboo, even if you say sort of an off color joke that didn't have like the N-word or something incredibly inflammatory. But you know, it was like, okay, maybe that was bad timing, you know, or something like that. I think all that's gonna sort of die off and people are gonna swing back to a more reasonable state.
See, the only thing I want,
but I think those individual cases, more or less, the reasonable people can figure it out. The problem is that nobody ever hears from the reasonable people. You know, it's the extreme sides of everything that have the loudest voice.
Definitely, that's for sure. I mean, the only thing I want is I want the ability to ask questions that maybe are uncomfortable because I miss having conversations with that. I've sat down with people, and I wish I remembered the old dude's name, because this was fucking years ago. I sat down with an old black dude and just asked him, hey, have you ever been called the N-word? What was your experience with racism? And because I would have, it's not something that's really in my worldview because A, I don't pay attention to a lot of things like that. Unless the person is super super in my face and say, hey, F you, Whitey, I don't know if I'd notice because I'm an A to B. I'm focusing, if I'm at B, my focus is on getting to A. So it would have to be something that was totally obvious to me. And so I would have never known that. Or asking, I had a conversation with an Asian gentleman at one point in time and said, so does everybody expect you to excel? Like the stereotypical, because it's super stereotypical, but I've heard from people who are Asian that their parents expect that. And there's this high expectation of education. So I love asking questions that may not be comfortable because it's how I learn. It's how James learns and Ryan learns. And in today's society, asking questions like that is not, nobody necessarily likes that. And by the way, it's the same thing on the other side. If you got a guy who hates gay people and you say, hey, I would love to know what a gay person thinks about this, they'd fucking rally against you because, hey, you know, blah, 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 gay people. You know, so both sides of the fence are against it. And I think both sides of the fence need to realize, hey, the only way you're going to fucking learn is by talking. If you hate gay people, the only way that you're going to learn about them is just asking fucking questions.
Yeah.
You have to get over your own prejudices. Everybody has them. No matter what side of the fence you're on, if you say, hey, fuck this person, that's a prejudice. Yeah. Or you could be against conservatives. You got to hold your breath and say, okay, why do I hate this person? Okay, so this person says, I hate conservatives because they're anti-abortion. Well, what's their opinion on it? Where do you meet in the middle? You know, so you have to understand more of the argument and in the end realize, hey, it's a fucking person. You know, let's meet in the middle and say, well, fuck you. We can agree to disagree. And I think we're missing that part of society because I really, one of the reasons my friend who politically, I mean, I don't think we could agree on anything except maybe the color of the sky. And I love this person just because the fact that she's willing to go toe to toe for me. And I'm, you know, and I like that. I like the fact that there's no conversation points that are really forbidden.
Yeah. I think that's a great thing to have somebody that you can do that with. But I would say that's not the norm in our society anymore because everybody has to have an opinion. Everybody wants to be offended by some, but things so they can justify their opinion.
Was it ever though? I mean, we're kind of in a little monoculture being in the middle of fucking nowhere, but was that always the case?
I think it always was. Look at the Jews were slaves. There was a prejudice with that because they should be subservient to the Egyptians. We had black slaves because there's a prejudice in that. And the fact that they, not the black people, but they believed that the black people were an inferior race. Even the Japanese were the same thing towards the Chinese, the Russians towards the Jews. And then our own society with the glass ceiling, we were prejudiced against women. There was women who didn't even want to hear the opinion of a man because they could not, in their opinion, a man could never relate to the struggle of a woman. And that's just the way it is. It's the same thing with the black race. I don't even want to say race, but, you know, the slaves that we used to have are coming out and saying that we don't care what white man says because he was never a slave. He can't relate to our suffering. You know, that's kind of where it is. Same with the Indians. Indians were racist against white people, and we were racist against them.
And blacks,
because they wouldn't know the struggle of what the Indians were put through. They also believed that we didn't respect their society, which we were basically not respecting their society as a nation for a long time. That's just the way it is. It's always been that way, and there's always been a struggle for people with an open mind to tell other people, no, go and spend some time with them. Try to understand them. They're not that way, you know? Irish had this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've got a coworker who almost refuses to sort of intellectually see something from another person's point of view.
You've already called your boss half a dozen times. Let's call him who he is.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever.
Hi, Ryan's boss.
And it's I don't know. To me, it's always been beneficial to look at something from another side. I mean, like, and imagine, like, I mean, look, nobody imagines what it's like, but, you know, like, oh, fuck, what must that have been like? You know, is a thought I constantly have. Like, example, what must it have been like? Like, my if I ask my folks, oh, okay, hey, what about my grandparents? And where were their parents from? And oh, that's cool. Okay, so what's the history of that? Okay, I can purchase the family name. And oh, look, it's from England. And then they immigrated to Ireland and then came over here. And then the other side came from here and all these things. What would it be like is, like, well, past your grandfather, they were slaves. And then before that, slaves. And then before that, slaves. Slaves? Yeah, slaves. Like, that's got to be a weird fucking family history. You know what I mean? To, like, oh, that's where that stops. Is just my grandparents?
No, you're totally right. I mean, that would be a mind fuck.
Yeah.
But
so
also,
I can understand a little bit of animosity, like, you know, that it's sort of cultural at this point.
No, I don't disagree. And this is I think, and I don't know how you do this, so please forgive me if this upsets you, is the fact that where is forgiveness? And at this point, it's not necessarily, you're not necessarily forgiving somebody, but it's forgiveness, it's internal forgiveness. It's how do you let it go? Because I don't know. And
well, that's the thing. I'm letting it go. I don't know if there's forgiveness, but maybe just like, all right, moving on.
Well, I think I think at some level you'd have to forgive. I guess it'd be forgiving yourself for, you know, or something. Just, you got to say, you know, I need to let this go. And by the way, that's everybody has to work on that. There's shit in my life that I need to say, okay, I just need to forgive this person, whether it's my fault or their fault, just fucking let it go. I don't know. I just think there's shades of society that, in all colors, all areas of life, that we just need to, I think Ryan put it best, is the fact that we need the redemption story. We need to have avenues in life where people can try to better themselves instead of being held back by past deeds. And I think that reaches all colors, all creeds, all faiths, is you need to help people be better. I think the only issue it's going to be is, what's your idea of better? Is it just having a healthy society? Is having somebody who's seeking to be an active, healthy member of society? Or is this somebody who has to constantly genuflect on the errors of his ways? Because that's not healthy either. You can't have somebody who's seeking forgiveness but always beating themselves up for their past wrongs. You're going to destroy somebody for that. So where is the middle of genuflecting on the grave of his sins and trying to become a better person?
And that is the question of the ages.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's really no
answer. Yeah, like,
there's really no answer to that one, John. I mean,
no, there's not. And that's kind of, cause we're actually over time, but that was, that's why I wanted to end this episode with, is, where is forgiveness? And I'm putting this out to you, if anybody hears this, whether it's, you know, today or 10 years from today, is, where is forgiveness for your enemy? And I know it's not easy. If you're an African-American fellow and you're mad at the white dude for calling you an N-er, or if you're a gay dude and the straight bigot said something, or vice versa, where is forgiveness there? And it's something I think that we all need. We need to be, and it's not necessarily forgiving the person. It's letting you forgive yourself for whatever you didn't do. If you didn't stand up for yourself and you feel angry, you need to forgive yourself for, at that time,
yeah,
not reacting, whatever. And I think that's something we need. And for me, I think it's something that the Word of God says is about forgiveness. And I don't know how you do it. I have no fucking clue. I mean, I have my biases and my prejudices, and none of them are bad. So, but everybody does. No matter the creed, color, you have biases, you have prejudices. It's innate.
Yeah.
The only thing I can say is, you know, if there's ever something James, Ryan, or I said that offended you, please forgive us. It's always been in the name of having a conversation, of trying to spark a conversation. And that's what this show, that's what Real Flicks Reviews was always about, is getting people to have a conversation, to generate opinions, and to better each other.
I think what John's trying to say is, please, won't you be my neighbor?
Hey, I agree. I 100% agree. And do any of you have any?
No, I think we basically covered all of it. I mean,
in my long-winded.
I just think the whole, you know, I think when does forgiveness, when is that appropriate, is kind of a good way to end it on it.
In my long-winded fashion, fucking James summed it up with a half hour worth of conversation.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California pariah, for the fat man, and by... Well, Ryan Preston, something, something, bitch. Blah, 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 Preston. As always, crazy? Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
All right. I've got pizza that came out of the oven 15 minutes ago.
All right.
Bye.
All right, later, guys.